The following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcasts also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
Got it, Tonio?
Yeah. That's still true. I'm going to do this too. Yeah, that's my turn.
Can you believe this is Jimmy? A little more music, Josh. Bring it up a little bit. Don't fade it out totally. That's good right there. Can you believe that's me in 1961? Give him his mic. Mic's over here, Josh. Josh, put Billy's mic on.
Hi there, Josh.
Josh, hey, that's me.
Yeah.
You produced that record and wrote that song, and your nephew, Eddie Collins, was 5 years old, and you were at Down Plus Studios with who? Tony Lewis.
A great bunch of people and a great bunch of musicians. We're from the Kensington String Band. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yep.
And that's the Lydells singing, right? With the
Lydells of Wizard of Love fame.
Father, did you become rich?
I became nothing. I became a priest, which makes her even worse than not rich. Anyway.
How'd you get him to giggle? Did you tickle him?
No, he was 5 years old. Can you believe that? Bring up the music.
He just wanted to be in show business. He still does.
Anyway, go right on to the other. But give us our Tony Orlando promo, please, Josh, all right?
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to Father Jim's show. No other show like it, by the way, on the whole world, right here on WWDB. That's right, the best station that you can ever listen to. Why? Because the Father is giving it the blessing.
Tony Orlando, one of the best. He's the greatest.
I'm hoping for Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, and I sold my heart to the junk man. Put the mics on, Josh. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, God bless us.
Everyone.
Anyway, our number here is 888-329-3306. I was road manager for Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. Actually, I found out later through Bobby Charger, may he rest in peace, MoGL and Wibbage and the great stations of Philadelphia, that it really wasn't Patti. It was another group. And Harold B. Robinson owned Newtown Records, and Bobby Martin, probably the first black producer that I remember that was successful, went down the aisle with them and a lot of hit records. Great group, Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. I love you, Patti. If you're listening, you had a call in, come in to the show with us. Billy, some thoughts.
I love Bobby Martin. He's a great producer, by the
great
way.
Great producer, great.
And Patti is a great girl. She still is. I went to school with Patti.
I've been trying to reach her for years, but, you know, being famous and all, it's hard to reach her. But we're gonna get her sometime soon on the show, God willing. And if anyone knows where she is, give us a call. By the way, we have a caller on right now. Let's go on to their first phone call, all right? And leave the music on, a little bit under bed, all right? So we welcome you, phone caller, and your name, young person. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hervé speaking from France.
Oh, my God. I forgot to tell everyone that we had a gentleman that's an assistant professor in the University of Paris. If I'm correct, is it Hervé or Hervé?
It's Hervé. It's
all right. And listen, it's a kind of a disjunctive show today. It's not my usual type patter, but I want to welcome you to Philadelphia Radio.
Oui.
He is an historian.
Thank you.
And he contacted me through Sam Spicer, our general manager, and it was regarding Gene Kay, was our guest three times. So Herb, listen, give us a little background on yourself, and what is your interest in music? Right. You're on Philadelphia Radio, 4th Market in Philly, Herb.
Right. So, a quick background. I'm an art historian, and I was working on a piece that was involving a very early version of the Velvet Underground when Lou Reed was hired by a low rate record company that was called Pickwick Records in New York, and he was just asked to write tunes on demand, you know, and he wrote one of them that was called The Ostrich, that was a sort of novelty dance record, and the company decided to promote it, and that's how Lou Reed, to shorten a little bit the story, met John Cale. And so the first meeting of John Cale and Lou Reed was through that band called The Primitives, and they decided to promote the record. And the only trace, and so John Cale mentioned and other members of that early group like mentioned touring around Philly, and part of that touring involved being billed on the same ticket as Shirley Ellis, who was singing the Name Game.
Sure, Name Game, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Right. So I didn't tell you the date, but it's that group was formed maybe early December, and then we are probably early January 65. And so, I mean, I was going through all that research, and the only possible show that I have found through local newspaper was the Notre Dame Bandstand that was presented by DJ Gene Kay.
Yeah, and Gene Kay ran that hop impeccably, fantastic. He and Jay Sands that worked for WAEB, Allentown, East New Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I used to take a lot of good. Matter of fact, you heard I sold my heart to the Junkmen as we began the show. And Patti LaBelle, I was their road manager. Billy, jump in. Billy, by the way, I have a great singer-songwriter musician with me. Billy Carlucci is my co-host, Herb. And I want to link the two of you together because maybe he can help you in your work in Paris, France. This is a call from Paris, France. Wonderful, huh? And Billy, do you remember Velvet Underground?
I do. And actually, I knew you had a French accent, but I didn't know you were from France, and that's terrific.
The call's from Paris right now, yes.
Are you in Paris right
yes,
now?
Yes, right now.
I am.
You are so lucky. You must love Paris, right?
Well, thank you for welcoming me. Yeah, I do.
You love Paris like we love South Philadelphia and Philadelphia.
Professor, is it true?
Actually,
Professor, I just had
director,
to...
You told me that
hold on one second, Herb. Go ahead. Dr. Andy Savicki is my co-host. And he's a psychologist, retired lieutenant colonel. And the show, by the way, you're listening to right now, the number is 888-329-3306, Father Jimmy Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille, Doctor.
Professor, I'm so excited to hear from you. And I've done a lot of research on the background of many of people we call the French people. And I was wondering, is it true that the French people really love Italian food?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because
most of the time better than French food.
Well, thank you. I put that into my logbook as well.
Well, listen, Billy, talk about the Velvet Underground. How much you remember and know about
I remember all their music, and I'd like to hear. So you going to play any of it?
No, well, no, we actually didn't plan that. I wasn't sure he was going to call in today. But thanks a lot for throwing that up, Billy. Appreciate it.
But well, anyway, Billy. One day we're going to get that music on this show.
Maybe in the next show we do, Herb, we can have you call in. We'll program a show around you, and we can play some of their music. Now, am I correct in assuming what you said, that the Primitives became the Velvet Underground? Am I correct or incorrect?
Yeah. Two of the members of the Primitives are part of the Velvet Underground, and they are central members. It's Lou Reed and John Cale.
So
it's really the core of the Velvet Underground, in a sense.
Now, were they from England, the Primitives? Were they from England or
so
America?
John Cale was from Wales and came to New York in 63, came to the U.S. in 63. And so they met completely like randomly because, you know, like they had long hair and looked apart. So
now I understand why they call themselves the Velvet Underground. It makes sense.
Yeah. Now listen, Billy, tell her while we're on the air some of the singers and groups you wrote for, Billy.
I wrote for Leslie Gore, Ricky Nelson, The 3 Degrees, Danny the Juniors, The Flamingos.
Herb, he was in boot camp in the Army. He gets a call, and they bring him into the head shed. That's the head shed where the captain is and their first sergeant. And they said, you have a phone call here from Teresa Brewer. Tell him what happened.
Teresa Brewer called, and they released the song that I wrote and produced the track, actually. It was called Handle With Care.
Fantastic.
And it's now a collector's item.
Now, Herb, I want you to stay on line with us. Right? In the meantime, we're going to continue with the show, but hang in there with us, okay? And the show today is actually a show kind of featuring me because, to be quite frank, the guest for this week could not make it the last minute. So it goes live. The entertainment business, we go to square number two. We're plan B, and here we are. We're having a good time.
In the military, we always have casualties.
And we've been around long enough to take care of this show.
That's right.
Absolutely. So Go ahead, Herb.
Let's go offline if you want, like, first.
Say again, Herb.
Oh, if we can talk off, you know, like off the air.
Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely, but we're on the air live now for an hour, so let's keep the show going. Right. You hang in the rafters, unless you're paying $300,000 for the phone call, you know.
Well, but anyway, that might be the thing.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. Why don't you you can say hello to the Philadelphia audience, and again say who you are. And then maybe call us back at the end of the show, and I'd like you to do a promo or two for my future shows, okay?
All right. So greetings to your audience in Philadelphia. I'm very happy, and thank you for welcoming me on your show.
And again, your name, your rank, and your serial number.
my name is Hervé Van Aerle, and I'm associate professor at the University of Paris in Paris, France. And thanks to Father Jim Drucker, I might make some progress on my research.
Listen, it's a blessing to have you with you, Doctor. I have 4 degrees. Doc has his PhD. He's a psychologist. And we're having a good time. Janine, jump in, say hi to Herb.
Hi, how you doing?
You love him.
By the way, she speaks a little French.
No, I don't.
Oh, you
yes,
know.
You do. I saw you.
You're always speaking French to me.
Give it a try.
Parlez-vous français?
Anyway, we don't want to rack up your...
Oh, I do, yeah.
We thank you for calling it. What a blessing it is. And I thank Sam Spicer, our general manager, and Laura Lewis, a good people, wonderful people here at the station in management. Laura is operations manager, a great lady of broadcasting fame. And it's a delight to work with her and for her, and Sam Spicer as well, who is the general manager, sales manager. So I love you. And Herb, God bless you. Our love for you and your family. And call back
if you can
in 45 minutes. We'll do a couple of promos, please.
And Herb, if you're ever in Philadelphia, give me a call. We'll go to 9th Street and show you around the Italian market.
And I'm an associate professor at the Jefferson University. We can exchange notes and lectures.
We're
going to
work that all out. I'm going to give everybody, with your permission, your email, and make sure you send me your cell number. And if you're on WhatsApp, we can talk and see
Absolutely.
Each other. And we'll
I tried the WhatsApp thing, and it was not that easy. But yeah, we'll certainly keep in touch, and I'll call you back in 45 minutes.
Listen, the show has taken a turn for the good. I thank you, and God bless you in France. And I was there one time in my life. I spent a week there. I was in Du Nord. And I was stationed at Lake Neath. I took the hovercraft over from Dover, where the White Cliffs of Dover. Spent a week there, saw some plays there. Had dinner with a buddy of mine that was a Jesuit. He's a Catholic one, by the way. That's a joke. Some of them are.
I don't understand how you get around like that. You get all over. How do you do all these things?
I stayed at a little hotel there. We had a great time. And I took the hovercraft. I think it was the bus from. Northern France down into Paris du Nord, the north of Paris, and it was a great time, and I loved it very much. So God bless you and all our French people out there, our French friends, and majority of you are Catholic. That doesn't hurt. I'm Catholic, so it's good also to say hello to everyone out there, whatever faith. I love you. God bless you. Call back, all right?
Thank you.
And again the show today, is my show. It's kind of an ad-lib show. I grew up in Philadelphia. I was actually born technically in Hazleton, PA. I was 2 months old. My father died, Samuel. My mother, Margaret, moved me and my brother, Louis, down to Philly. So I grew up through high school, through Edison High School. And in the early 60s, after I got out of high school, I worked for Jolly Joy's Theatrical Booking Agency. And while I was there, I met a lot of great people. And I went to school with the Boston's. A group called the Boston, I went to school with Babbo Duval Young. He was a black fellow with red hair, tremendous singer. If you hear this song, we're going to play two of them today on my show. Wings of an Angel, he sounds like an angel. He sings impeccably on tune and just so wonderful. And then I did work with Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. I was in Harold B. Robbins, 6600 North Broad Street, underground where Bobby was. And when Monty, her uncle, couldn't take them upstate, I would drive them up to WARM, WSCR, WBAX, where later I would become a disc jockey, and the TV bandstand up in Scranton. So I took them up there. I took up the Sherrys. Two of them were the daughters of Little Joan and the Thrillers of Penis Fame, OK Records. And it was just wonderful. So I think, Doc, you're going to jump in here right now?
Yeah, Father, you know, you've always been my hero, but I... tell me something. Is it true you sang doo-wop harmony with Babo and Robbie in the high school bathrooms?
It was absolutely true. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to admit this on the air, and this, I shouldn't do this, but Mrs. Mary Means was probably one of the most wonderful living women on the face of the earth. She was kind of a hunchback a little, and she loved the students. She was, and turned out, I found out later, she was a devout Catholic leader, which would show true to what she would do. She loved her students, and she actually gave me passes to get out of classes to work at the town T-O-W-N-E restaurant so I could have money, because my father died, I was 2 months old. So by that time, I'm in high school, and I'm working as a busboy, making money from my mommy. Mm. And for money for food and that. So anyway, it was a wonderful time, and it was a wonderful time of my life. And I got involved with a group with Inez Ryan, whose real name was Edith Browder. She was over in Prospect Ridley Park, and she managed Johnny Farr. She managed the Liddells. And I became friends with them. What a bunch of hooligans they were! Oh, but Chuck taught me how you get a ticket from a cop, and you keep sticking it on the car. So they, when they, oh yeah, he has a ticket already. That's the kind of stuff Chuck taught me.
I didn't know that.
And I can tell you other things, but I'm not going to tell you.
I did that yesterday, and I got 5 hours back on my window.
and let's play some of the Boston music. I love these group. Here comes their hit record, and later, the Jerry Gross is going to be on the show with us in a couple of weeks for the 52nd show. 1 year was our guest.
Oh, that's
first.
Great.
It I was our guest in the first show almost 1 year ago, 49. It's, I think today's the 49th show. For three weeks in the future, it'll be 1 year since he was on the air. And they covered the Continental song, which was really this song called Mopity Mope. Josh, Mopity Mope, the Bostons.
Mopity Mope, Mopity Mope, Mope, Mope.
Hi, this is Tony Butala with the Letterman. I'd like to tell you that I'm very proud to have known this guy, Father Jim Drucker, for many, many years. He's Philly's doo-wop priest, and the show is Rock and Roll Reveille at WWDB AM 860 on your dial.
Oh! Your love is like a chain.
And that is Billy Carlucci and The Essentials, one of my heroes, as well as Father Drucker and Janine. And I just want to share with my audience that many of us veterans have found a sanctuary when we are lonely, we need to talk, and know there'll be someone to listen. That sanctuary sometimes is organizations that represent veterans. The American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, and others. And one of the things I found is that we can't undo what happened in our lives, but we can balance it out with positive experiences, good things in our lives. I'd like to share with you something that we have coming up with the American Legion. November the 15th, coming up, it's a Friday, we have what we call the Designer Bag Bingo. And this is a chance for you to get something nice for someone you love, or just talk her into an opportunity to support the American Legion. It's going to be on, again, November the 15th at 275 Wilmer Street here in Glassboro, New Jersey. So give me a call, because I've had calls, but I'd like to see you face-to-face. I'll be there. So come and visit with us November the 15th, 275 Wilmer Street in Glassboro. Starts at 5:30, and they kick off with the bingo at 7 o'clock. Do something nice for your family. We love you. We'll always be there for you. Call me at 856-278-4042. 856-278-4042. See you there.
Jim, I remember how wonderful the days were at the Schubert Building. You remember that at Bull Street?
I remember it well, so well. You and Johnny Badera and Len Barry.
And you produced that great record that was on Roulette called Karen by the Lydells, and the other one, Wiggle Wobble.
Well, believe it or not, Chuck Hatfield was lead singer. Paul Alone was the bass singer. And Gary Osler, and there were a few other fellas that sang. They were, for three white fellas, they sang harmony that was tight, really, really tight. So we cut this record. It was on Roulette. I remember going to New York City, meeting Bud Ketzel, who was the head of promotion, and buying masters. I had the 2-inch master. I didn't have it yet, but I wanted to solicit to try to sell it. And he heard I had an acetate, a dub. It would say, leave right on from the 2-inch master. And he loved it. Said, I'm going to release it. And he said, but I don't want no trouble with this. I'll tell you the story later on that. So he did release it. In the meantime, I'll tell you the story after we hear this. And I play guitar on this song. And the flip side, doing the wiggle wobble, I play guitar on it. And I wrote it. I wrote it on the...
You wiggle a lot.
I wrote it on the 15 trolley car from Frankfurt going downtown. And I remember the kids in the United States said the wigwam was great. Well, the kids in New Orleans said the wigwam was keen. Move it all over from town to town.
You know what? I heard that record. It's pretty damn good.
Father, excuse my language. You were already inebriated at that time, were you?
I was not. I was not even 13 yet, so I couldn't drink like you.
Ginger ale.
So Bud Ketzer released this, and here's the hit record, Karen by the Lydells. Dum do dum dum do dum do dum da 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 dum do dum dum do dum do dum da 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 dum do dum dum do dum do dum da 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 dum do dum dum do dum do dum da da da.
She doesn't care it. I met her back.
Billy Carlucci. That's me playing guitar. The record was cut at Sound Plus Studios.
Sound Plus.
With Chuck Hatfield, Paul Alone, and Gary Osler. Hang on. Moving all over from town to town, this dance. Yeah, we're going to wobble. They're red in the face.
I love it.
Whoa, wow. That'd be nice. Now, here's the true story for the world to know. I cut the record. I hired the backup group. They're not hired. They're all friends of mine. We all did it for fun, you know? Went to Sound Plus Studios. I think this one we cut at Sound Plus. And I take the master. He picks it up. He said, bring the master in next week, Jimmy Drucker. He's bring it back, Jimmy, into 4 days. It was the weekend. In the meantime, I get a call Monday. The day before, I was to go with the master, the 2-inch master tape that we cut at their famous Sound Plus Studios,
mm-hmm.
and Chuck calls me. And he said, Jim, I said, who? I said, Chuck. I said, oh, yeah, what? How you doing? He said, fine. He said, listen, we didn't trust you. So we went to RecoArt, and we cut another version, because, you know, when you own a master, we can touch that, but you can do the song again. And we took the master back, and Bud Ketzel took our master.
What?
I said, why? Why would you do that?
Was what the hell?
I said, how could you, what about my group? Oh, we told them all you were sick. You couldn't make it to New York. That's a true story.
That drove you to become a priest.
And that happened to me, too.
Unbelievable.
So every recording artist, Johnny Madera, you, me, everybody, the Barbara Hawkins, Dee Dee of the Crystals, it was, and I said, I was crying. I was like 19 years old. Mm-hmm. I said, Chuck, why would you do that? You can't.
But look what
it was
did.
A lie. He just wanted to get. And you ready for this? The record came out. It should have been a hit, a monster. Absolutely. It was a great song. It bombed because I found that I should. Can I tell it? I want to tell it, I think. Mm. Yeah, anyway, I found out later that the owner of Master Records from Philadelphia was kind of related to the other, you know, sundry side of people, tough guys, you know, without getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to New York when they had Wizard of Love out. And it was top 10 at WABC New York City. And he threatened Bud. We don't get our money. That was Morris Levy.
I know. Why are you saying that? I know the
so,
other guy, too.
So let's flash back now. And he's telling me, Jimmy, now if there's any problem with this record, it's not going to make it. It's going to die. So it died. He let it die. In the meantime, they stole the Wicca Wobble for me. They just put Alone and Hatfield. So I went to Harry Fink, who was a big record promotion man. Wonderful
Harry
man.
Harry Pfeffer?
Wonderful Jewish fellow. I loved him. And I went, he said, Jimmy, I told you they were bums. Stay away from them. They're no good. I said, they sing good. He said, they sing good. They're bums. They're bums that sing good. Stay away. He picked the phone up. Ketzel, it's Harry Fink. Listen, truly, Phinque. He said, I want you to know something. I have a young man here. He's a very wonderful young man, a decent man. He was with them. Yeah, he said, I know. And he's talking to them. And he said, look. He didn't even get credit for the song he wrote. They stole the wrong song he wrote. So anyway, next thing I know, it's Hatfield, Alone, and Drucker. At least I was on the label. I finally got them. But that's
that happened to me, too.
That's the business.
This is WWDB Father Jim Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Father, tell us about your radio journey from upstate Pennsylvania radio stations and your love for rock and roll and doo-wop music.
I'll tell you what, Josh, let's play our Barbara Hawkins.
Hi, this is Barbara Hawkins with the Dixie Cups.
Love
every
you, dear.
Saturday. Push this aside and listen to Father Jim, 4 o'clock p.m., WWDB AM 860.
In 1964, I joined the Army Guard. I went to train how to kill, basically, at Fort Jackson, the M16, the M1, the rocket launcher 3.5, bazooka, handgun 45, hand grenades, etc. I was down there, and when I came out of active duty for my 6 months of intensified infantry training, 2 months of basic infantry, advanced infantry, and 2 months of basic basic unit infantry training. My brother Paul was an executive with Electric Boat General Dynamics. He used to be a submariner in the Second World War, a blessed memory, my brother Paul and brother Joseph. And he said, Jimmy, come out to Quincy, Mass. We're opening up, we're buying up the General Steel plant, and it's going to become an electric boat plant. So I said, fine. He said, you'll come, you work in the office. So I got there. He said, look, why don't you learn a trade? He said, go into the yard, work with the fellas. So I became an electrician. I went down the hatches. I can't imagine this. I was 22 years old, just out of active duty during Vietnam era. And I'm going down these hatches, running cables in two nuclear submarines, 638, 649. They later became the Sunfish and the Whale. And while I was there, I ran all the cables. And it was marvelous. I made a lot of money. Ended up getting a nice apartment with a buddy of mine, a fellow named Jack. And he was a UPS driver. Everything was platonic. It was a nice time. And then I went to school at nights to Emerson College, which has to be probably one, if not the finest school for speech pathology and for broadcasting. Dr. Mattson, Dr. Quesnell. And some of my classmates was the Fonz, Henry Winkler. Hmm. Now, of course, he's famous. I'm not. But in God's eyes, we all are famous, of course. And I also a fellow named Vinny DeBona. I did some research on him recently because I finally got a call from him. But he's not like he used to be. He used to be so down to earth and so wonderful and so friendly. I had to go through eight secretaries to get to say hello to him. And when I asked for his cell number, he said, you can't have it. So I said, well, not that that's important. But anyway, I love you, Vinny. He ended up producing MacGyver. And I just curiously one day searched, he's worth $250 million.
Well, that's not.
Certainly $249,900,000 more than I have.
We don't need any money. We got money.
So then from there, I left and went into radio. I went down to Miami. I went down to Sarasota to REI, Radio Electronic Institute. Went to school there for 6 months. Learned how to work my elements 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the FCC, Federal Communications Commission's. For the first-class radio license in the radio business, we called it the first ticket. Because in the day, AMs had to have directional, two towers or more, an engineer on hand. So rather than hire an engineer for $40 an hour then, they would hire a disc jockey. We were a combo man. You would go out to pull the plunger out like a quarter mile outside of the studios, put a long in a guided lead on, pull the plunger out, and take the readings, come back. And then I became a ticket, first ticket. And I started my first station after I gained my license in Miami, Florida, where I took the license, passed the test, pardon my popping, and I started working at the nifty 1150 with Bud Williams, Bill Deesing, Jim Davis, he's a mentor to both of us, and with Dick Grimes, Peter Juck. Son, WIBG, Dick Grimes. I went from there, and I started working in the movie of the Molly Maguires. Can you imagine that? I worked with Sean Connery, who was as quiet as a church mouse. He had no hairpiece. It was marvelous seeing him with no hair. It could be James Bond with no hair. Are you kidding me? And then I went from there with Richard Harris, and I met Jimmy Webb, and I was able to record him for a two-hour show for a monitor in NBC, which was WSCR in Scranton, PA. And I met Jimmy Webb on the set one day. Wow. It was marvelous. Marty Ritt was the producer, was the director, who later would do HUD. He did HUD and Hombre, and later he would do Norma Ray and get an Academy Award. And Richard's best friend was Maliki McCourt from New York, who had the filthiest mouth, and I'm from Philly, in my life that I've ever heard. So I went to work for them, and then I did the Molly Maguires, and I went to the general manager, the new manager at Wins, and I said, Mr. Branch, would you mind if I take some time? He said, no. I said, well, please, it's important to me to do this movie. I'm an extra. I'm a stand-in for the priest. I was a disc jockey. I was a stand-in for the priest, for Phil Bornoff, English actor. He said, no, you can't. I said, well, if you don't, I'm going to leave. He said, fine, leave. So I left.
But you know what? You got to meet Richard Harris and Jimmy Webb. Who can do that?
And I don't know if I want or left. I went to work for Vince Alberts. Then I went to work from there as Jack Mitchell. Worked with Joe McCoy, who was then Joe Lane at WAVZ. JM in the AM as we rock at WAVZ in New Haven, Connecticut. And then I came back to the number one station in America, the WARM. The mighty 590, WARM, Wilkes-Barre is Scranton's number one station for fun. Or as Stephen Allen Scott used to say, this is warm. The mighty 590. For you, I'll get it for $589. So I met a group called Wayne and Merlin. They were known as the group, Josh, ready? They were known as a group called the Golden Toadstools. They played with Mark James, who wrote Suspicious Minds. They backed
really?
Him up
wow.
on stage at Rocky Glen Park on WSCA, Rocky Glen Park Day, WSCR Day. And this was the song they played at that time on Shelby Singleton Records, Minaret, a subsidiary. I'm talking. We have in the wings one of our wonderful guests comes on with us much, General Douglas Satterfield. General, would you chime in here on the Jim Drucker story here, Father Jim Drucker, sir? I need help.
Hey, hey, it's great to be on. You know, I feel like I'm zooming in on a time machine listening to all these great music on your show. You know, I didn't realize that so much of your past was from East Central Pennsylvania. That's great. The Molly Maguires, holy cow, I think that is out of Pottsville where they were for the most part. Oh, wow, that's something else.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. And again, can you imagine James Bond just coming from Goldfinger, whatever it was, and there he's coming out of his dressing room with no hair. I said, where's his hair?
A shocker.
But anyway, it's good to have you with us, General. Very good to have you, and I love you, sir.
Well, thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be on. Really,
Father Jim, took two Southern boys from South Carolina and New Orleans as a manager, Wayne and Merlin. You were able to sign a contract with the largest record company in America, which was RCA.
When I went to RCA, there was a fellow named Pierre Mayu who did a lot of Little Piggy March's stuff on RCA after her hit.
I will follow him.
I will follow him from Lansdale, right? Lansdale, PA. Yeah. But anyway, he loved the music. He took the group. And Ernie Altschuler just left Columbia. He was the one that produced all of Tony Bennett's hits. Everyone
really?
At San Francisco, all of them. And he loved the group very much. I met with him. We signed a contract for $5,000, or actually $2,500, with a promise of a single. Yeah, I was cooking then.
How
man.
You doing? Yeah,
unbelievable.
My God.
And then what we did, we cut this record. And Wayne was so good. He was from Columbia, South Carolina. And Johnny Ellis, if you're listening, I'm going to dedicate this to you as well, because when I was in the Army, I met Johnny. He was at WNOK in Columbia, South Carolina, when I was in the Army. And this is a song we cut at RCA, and the producer became Ted Darrell. And Teddy has been a dear friend all my life. He passed away recently. And Ted wrote She Cried and had the first million seller for Jane the Americans. He also wrote Tommy for Reparata and the Del Runs. But this is the song. Wayne was so good that Ted did not use Hugh McCracken, the session guitar session player in New York City and all the studios. He used Wayne, and he used Merlin on drums. Let's play this song. I love this. It's phenomenal. What you going to do? Drucker Publishing Music, by the way, published this.
What you
Billy, what do you think? Isn't it a great song? It should have been a monster hit. Absolutely.
I know the recording.
It smacks of Chicago.
Where was that recorded at?
RCA Records, Studio B. Elvis Presley recorded the day before.
All right. Wow, great sound.
Great sound. Nobody
it's hard to get a good sound at RCA.
Isn't this great? That's Wayne playing guitar.
Damn.
Now listen, fade it down. We have a caller on. Gary, I think. Gary, you want to hop on here for Rock and Roll Reveille? Welcome to Rock and Roll Reveille on WWDVAM. Gary, are you there?
Thank you.
Gary, are you a veteran?
I am a veteran.
And bring his mic up, Josh, please. Bring the music down. Bring him up. Good, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Yes, I am a veteran. I'm a veteran from northeastern Pennsylvania and also from American Forces Vietnam Radio.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's Gary Brill from WAZL. My Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful to have you on the air, Gary. I'm playing a lot of my music and my life. Gary worked with a lot of the great people like What's-Its-Face and What's-Its-Face.
What's his mother's name?
We need a promo from him. We need a promo.
Gary, why don't you chime in and tell everybody what you think of me? Well, maybe it better not.
I called you, so you know what I think of you.
And we appreciate that.
Now, go back a little bit in your life, Gary, with the stations you worked at, and then you were in Vietnam in what year, sir?
Yeah, well, I can't remember that. I started at WAZL answering the telephone on Friday night getting football scores in 1958. I worked my way up to getting my first full-time job in radio. When I graduated in 62, I worked at WBRX in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Wow.
I worked in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania, WMBT, WYNS in Lehighton.
Wow.
I think that's where you were. Well,
yeah, that's where I started, and, Gary. Yeah, yeah.
WNAK in Nanticoke.
With Frank.
Went all around.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania.
You were with Frank Stanley, I'm sure, right, when he owned the station.
You're right.
And that's when I was at Warm Radio. But anyway, Gary, listen, I love you. It was so kind of you to take the time to call. I'm sorry I held you up there on the phone for a while. Please forgive me.
That's okay. Enjoyed listening to the program. Always nice to touch base with you.
I love you, man. God bless you.
Glad you called in.
You take care. God bless.
God bless.
God bless, my friend. Father, if I could, I'd like to brag a little bit about you. Father Jim, you served our country as an enlisted infantryman during Vietnam in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard, and later in the United States Air Force Reserve, 439th Air Wing as chaplain, captain, both in Massachusetts and in Pennsylvania, at the 913th CSS and the 111th Tactical Air Support Group, Pennsylvania Air National Guard at Willow Grove, and five more years active duty in the regular United States Air Force, having served in the Persian Gulf, Desert Storm. Thank you, sir, Father Jim, for your service to our country. I salute you, Father Jim, and the country salutes you.
I was so proud to have gone from an E3, not so much rank-wise, but from an E3 to an O3, to be with our servicemen overseas in Turkey and the northern Iraq. It was a blessing for me, and while I was in Turkey and country, I went to many sites in Prinsjelik, and I was stationed at Adana Incirlik Air Base. Prinsjelik was the secret base, and there was a munitions base in Malatya, so it was a wonderful time, and I made friends with a lot of generals, tomb generals, major generals in Turkey, like General Satterfield, wonderful people. But anyway, we're going to play some more music real quick. Stormy Weather, which was a song by the two groups. I took two of the Lydells and two of the Bosstones, Chuck and Paul Alone, Chuck Hatfield. I took Babel Young, and I took Willie Weaver, who he and I wrote the flip side of this song called Working at the Factory. And this was a minor hit, was picked up by Atlantic Records, Billy Colucci.
Wow.
Atlantic Records, Amit Erdogan. Wonderful song called Stormy, their version. And we changed the group's name to The Forecast.
Wow. You know, I had a record on every label in New York City, and you're coming close.
Say again.
I had a record on every label in New York City, including Atlantic, RCA, every label. You're coming close. Stormy weather, stormy weather, stormy weather, stormy weather, stormy weather. No sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
That song was cut at Chancellor Records on the dark of night. Can you believe this?
Where was that recording studio? Underneath the...
No, this was 9th and Vine Street. So the actual studios were Avalon would record with... No, this was Chancellor Studios.
Really?
They had Ampex Studios. Imagine Ampex recorders, tape recorders. It was wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. Can you imagine they did that with Russ Faith?
And they probably mastered it in New York.
They probably mastered And it was picked up by Atlantic Records. Watch this song. Now let's fade it down. Let's bring Herb on. You're back with us, Herb. Will you say goodbye to everybody? Tell everyone you enjoyed Rock and Roll Reveille, sir, from Paris, France.
I did, absolutely. You're playing great music, and you have quite an impressive record, Herbie Jim.
I love you, and God bless you. And General Satterfield, thank you for the kindness of the call, sir.
Anytime. Thank you.
Everybody, we love you. You're listening to the Jimmy Drucker Show, Father Jimmy Drucker, on Rock and Roll Reveille. Remember to tune in every week. Janine?
Tune in next week, 4 to 5 p.m., to listen to Father Jim Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille on Philadelphia's Beasley Broadcasting, WWDBAM 860 kilohertz, streaming by downloading Rock and Roll Reveille, WWDBAM.com.
We'll be there.
Adios, amigos.
We're going to end with stormy weather.
God bless.
Stormy weather. Stormy weather. Stormy weather. Stormy weather. Stormy weather. Stormy weather. No sun up in the sky, stormy weather. I sent my girl and I aren't together. It keeps on raining all the time.
Open enrollment begins October 15th. Are you ready to explore your options? In Pennsylvania,